Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
So I'm gonna get started. Hey everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast.
Hype.
Show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm your other co-host, David Bell.
And who are you, sir?
Michael Swaim.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for coming.
Hype! Yeah, thank you for coming out and doing this.
It's always a pleasure.
It's a long drive for both Michael
and
me.
It's always a pleasure. You've been doing stuff today, right? So you probably...
Yeah, we recorded 2 podcasts this afternoon with Daniel Vincent Gord.
Oh, cool.
So you're just
casting.
My voice is
casting,
a little rough. That's why my hype turned. I was going for air horn sound. It sounded more like a small dog.
hype.
But yeah, it's always my pleasure to come shit on trailers.
Sweet.
Yeah, we got some trailers to shit on.
We got some real
trailers to
shit on. I
always bring an extremely cynical edge to trailers because I know how editing works.
Yeah.
And I've been fooled by so many goddamn trailers that are so exciting.
I've said it before. I'm pretty sure I've said it before on this podcast, but like one of the best trailers I've ever seen is for the Wolfman remake. And that movie is trash.
Right.
But the watch the trailer. It's so fucking good.
Should have let him make the movie.
Yeah.
Right. Did this trailer.
So
I think
good.
The best trailer I can remember is 8 Mile. Not counting, of course, like The Shining and Alien. 8 Mile got me so fucking pumped to see this movie about Eminem that I did not give a shit about.
Right.
And his shitty mom.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I can't fucking wait.
Can't wait to see how awful his mom is. And his stepdad, Michael Shannon.
Is it Michael Shannon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's totally.
All right, I'm going to rewatch
8
Mile.
Who is not that much older than Eminem?
No, that's true. Yeah. I feel like Eminem is aging more than he should be, too. Like, at this point, my perception is that Michael Shannon feels younger than Eminem feels.
Right, yeah.
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah. Michael Shannon is in solid stepdad age right now.
Because he's just, like, chiseled out of a slab of slate.
Yeah.
Whereas Eminem's aging like a rapper who was once relevant.
Michael Shannon is carved out of a piece of bone-chilling limestone.
Yeah.
Like
he is like a monolith.
Right, yeah. Have you seen the video of him talking about working at Taco Bell?
Oh, yeah.
No.
It was supposed to be like this fun anecdote, but because he's Michael Shannon, nothing he says...
It's haunting.
It just is haunting the way he tells the story.
And then we would put the beans in the cup.
Just like this big cauldron where I'm just like... stirring this meat up, and they're like, "Did you ever eat?" No, I'd never eat there.
Can you imagine working with Michael Shannon?
Anything funny happened there? Like after hours? Yeah, several things. I don't want to get into it.
You know, we had a lot of funny things where we'd pal around after work.
Great, you want to go into that? Not
no,
really.
I don't really want to.
That basically captures it.
All right, so we get into the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, the first one is fucking Mowgli.
Yeah.
Y'all watch this?
I did, yeah.
This
it was in production at the same time as the Disney one.
It was.
It's taking it so much longer to come out.
I think they delayed it. They just powered right
through.
Well,
yeah, it was supposed to be a theatrical release, and now it's coming out on Netflix.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's not like, it's like...
But it wasn't originally a Netflix original?
No, it was... what's it's Andy Serkis's, like... Doesn't it like he's like producing it or it's like
yeah,
his studio
I think he's
or
involved
something?
With it.
I mean, he's definitely the bear.
Yeah, it looks
he's Baloo.
Yeah,
sure.
It looks like the other one, but if the CGI was more horrifying,
it was like that new Winnie the Pooh where they're like, what if he was ratty like a real stuffed animal that was
right.
old? I feel like all it's bringing to the table is what if the animals were dirty like real animals?
Right.
Yeah.
Because the big disappointment for me in this trailer. is Spider-Man syndrome. I go to the beginning, I go, oh, a new take on Jungle Book. It's just called Mowgli. So maybe it's like a Rocky Balboa reinvention where it's like, really digging in. Who is Mowgli? What right. can we learn by finding out about Mowgli? Maybe we'll cut and Mowgli's now in his middle age and he has trouble fitting into humans. No.
Yeah.
It's an adaptation of The Jungle Book with all the same plot beats as The Jungle Book.
Yes.
It looks like they're
That's so upsetting to me when you realize that.
Well, the Disney one, it ends with him finding the humans, right? Going to the humans.
Yeah, the Disney one ends with him going to live with
the humans. This looks like it at least dwells more on...
They have that Indian paint festival going on towards the end. Yeah.
It feels like the 90s live action Jungle Book and not a remake of that as opposed to
Jason Scott Lee and Sam Neill.
Yeah. As opposed to the recent one.
You can always go for some Sam Neill though. Pretty much always. Yeah.
He's very doddering in it. It's a very endearing role.
Who is he? Bagheera?
No, he plays.
He's like a human.
Yeah, and in the
like a human.
Yeah, yeah. In the mid-90s one, the animals don't speak or anything.
I didn't know that one existed. That's
he's
cool.
like Mowgli's love interest's father. He's like this doddering old Englishman.
Wanted you to stop before father.
Yeah,
he's Mowgli's love interest. I mean, it's Jungle Rules, man.
It's a real dark film.
The animals don't talk, but they slink away awkwardly.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Two Brothers, which is now ruined by Rick and Morty?
Right.
It's a movie. It's just called Two Brothers.
It sounds familiar. Is that the one where it's like lions or?
It's Guy Ritchie. Guy Pearce is the only main human character. And he is like a poacher and then turns into a trainer of these two orphan lion cubs. And have you seen the bear? That's classic.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've seen the bear.
Yeah. Back when you couldn't do CG, we had animal movies where it was like, look at the fucking tricks we got this animal to do in this shot.
Oh, yeah.
And Two Brothers was the same writer-director as the bear, coming back 15 years later and being like, I've learned even more. And if you like YouTube videos of cute animals, see Two Brothers, because the main characters are two lion cubs who don't talk, but there's a very clear story.
But, yeah.
Because all they do is cool shit where you're like, how'd they get a lion cub to do that for this movie? It's amazing. Like, they operate a seesaw to get out of a predicament. And you're like, that must have been difficult.
Yeah. It must have really, really, really been a taxing journey for those guys.
It was a delightful movie. It gave me all the Jungle Book feels without just redoing Jungle Book. I don't know why that's not easier for people to wrap it up.
I'm going to go back and watch The Bear. Like, The Bear... We used to make movies where Bart the Bear is in it. Yeah. He's not the titular bear though.
Oh, okay.
He's a different bear.
I think there are multiple bear characters.
I love because
the 90s were when there was famous bears, and that was great. Because there's also the bear on the edge, which I think is Bart's.
It's Bart the Bear.
I thought that was Bart Jr. There's a Bart Jr. and there's a Bart.
And Homeward Bound, like even with Cats and Dogs, we were doing just the voiceover, and the appeal was, we got a cougar to jump on a seesaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
I miss those days.
We used to make movies where like an animal was the main character, but it didn't speak.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, we're going through like a fucking character arc with this bear.
I suspect this about Homeward Bound, but I don't know for sure. Is there's moments in Homeward Bound where the dog does something that seems unexpected. And like Michael J. Fox will like, it seems like it's improv or like written later of like, oh, that dog like looked at this bird. And so we'll do a quick like line.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That seems like the appeal. Like I'm not a too big fan of his movies, but I want to see like Judd Apatow do an animal movie where he just shoots animals and then has comedians just do the lines.
And he
like,
honors the animals' choices.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they just help shape the screenplay.
Yeah. Just have the animals ad lib.
It would be 2.5 hours of nothing. Yeah. Just like every other Judd Apatow.
It sounds pretty empty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd watch it.
Yeah. We'd all watch it. It's like that
Sam Neill in there.
Farce the Penguins. We'd all watch it once.
I never saw that.
Never saw it. I did see Happy Feet, though.
What an insane movie.
Yeah.
Fucking George Miller.
Oh, right. Yeah. Fucking George Miller.
Yeah, that's weird.
What a maniac. Like,
so Mowgli. This looks like something... I mean, it's got names in it. But, like...
I saw the other one. This one doesn't feel worth my time. I know it's free for me because I have Netflix. I don't know if I'll ever see it. And I'm not saying that it's going to be bad.
I didn't see the original, but I didn't see the most recent. I do like Jon Favreau, so I'm sure it was competently put together.
That was a lot of fun.
Does this one look like it'll be way worse than that one for some reason to you?
No.
Or are you just like, it'll be the same and I saw it recently?
It's kind of that.
Okay.
And then it was, Blue was fucking Bill Murray and...
And the... John
yeah, and it was just yeah. like, I liked the cast in this, but I liked the cast better in the other one. And it really is like, they should have...
They should have stopped.
They should have stopped. Like, and I know it's a bummer.
Like, we got scooped,
like,
guys.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Like they did the Favreau one is the best version you could do because it's not a remake like Beauty and the Beast. It's its own movie.
It has similar beats.
It references the Disney movie. Like they do some of the songs, but it very much like it was an original screenplay and it was like a reimagined. It wasn't like a shot for shot remake like Beauty and the Beast was.
It's
like they made a movie and like that's the best thing you could do is make like this updated version that references the one that we know, but still its own thing.
They gave the songs. The only songs they gave is to like the old guys who didn't sing. Because Bill Murray gets it.
Bill Murray gets it.
And then King Louie, played by Christopher Walken
gets to sing. I want to be like you.
Yeah,
ooh.
But in the
it's
real Christopher
great.
Walken way.
It is surprisingly great.
I want to be like you.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to talk like you. Show like me you. Fire, man cub. It's pretty great, honestly. And they have the snake, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, she's real creepy.
She says,
I've been calling her that for years, though.
The snake, Scarlett Johansson.
The snake, Scarlett Johansson.
Now, she says, trust in me, but she doesn't actually sing the song.
I mean, I just realized her role in that is basically the same as Under the Skin, if anybody's seen that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Does she subsume Mowgli at a black hole?
She hypnotizes him and tries to eat him.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if there was a shot where there's a swamp in the jungle and she's pushing him under. And you're like, is this an Under the Skin reference? Like a straight up reference?
And he goes under and there's another like kid and it dissolves.
That would have been sweet. Mowgli.
Yeah.
Fucking Christian Bale is the Bagheera.
Sure. That works.
Andy Serkis is definitely Baloo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it just, we got one.
I agree. It's like, I'm sure Christian Bale can do that. That's fine.
I'm sure he can voice a panther convincingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But easily.
Like, he probably did like a lot of like,
he did some weird
body
like,
changes and stuff.
That
he had a tail grafted on and lived on all fours.
He did like method acting shit that he didn't have
Although,
to do.
Although
he lost weight till he was the same weight as a panther.
Better thought is the fact that he's doing the Chaney movie.
Right.
So I kind of want to imagine he did it around the same time and it was a guy who looked exactly like Dick Cheney doing the panther voice.
Like he would, they'd call cut on Vice and then he'd be like, everyone just ignore me and practice his panther moves, but he's still in the Dick Cheney outfit.
Yeah.
It's like, I got a new shoot coming up. I got to work on it.
I got to be a panther. All right, this next one is Missing Link, which...
This trailer depresses the shit out of me.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Is it because you love Laika so much?
Because I love Laika. Laika did Kubo and the Two Strings. They did Paranorman. They did Coraline.
Yes.
I think there's another one that I'm forgetting. But this movie, Missing Link, is about Bigfoot, and it seems like such a bullshit... Blue sky illumination.
Like they're getting into the DreamWorks.
Yeah.
Here's
Boss Baby feel.
Here's my counterpoint to that.
It looks like trash.
Here's my counterpoint to that. They got to get paid.
They do. They keep losing money.
Yeah, they deserve to get paid.
Paranorman is one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years on a screenplay level, too.
Right.
It's fantastic.
I think about like Pixar with Cars where they're just like, you know what? Let's get one thing that we don't give a shit about. And suck it dry, and then we'll just keep making like the movies we want to make. That's how Cars feels to me. It's like, toys, whatever. And so if they can get something that'll make them a bigger company and have more money and get to make multiple films at once and do all that shit, then fucking good for them. If this will draw in the dumb fucking children.
Well, and like the head of Laika, I think he's the head of Laika. One of the big wigs at Laika is directing the Bumblebee movie. So, like, they're trying to bring in money, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the Bumblebee movie?
It's called Bumblebee. It's a Transformers prequel.
Oh. It's Bumblebee like, the Transformer. Yeah, I was thinking B-movie, too.
Oh,
something.
Okay. It's like the Logan of Transformers.
Yeah. It's a spinoff for Bumblebee alone.
This movie looks like such trash.
I have another gripe, which is it is beat for beat, it seems from the trailer, identical to a graphic novel by an artist I really enjoy who... literally, he's had several of his graphic novels adapted into film, and that's like his goal. Doug Tenapel writes screenplay length graphic novels, a different one every 1 or 2 years, with the goal of getting them adapted into film. That's his stated dream all the time. Like 6 books ago, he had one called Flink about the missing link being discovered by a guy who takes him back to society, and he teaches him to talk, and hijinks ensue. So I also like secretly suspect that this was a ripoff.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean,
this reminds me of there's that Yeti one that's coming out too.
Smallfoot. It already came out. Like this movie, in addition to looking like trash, it just looks like the trailer's just full of dumb, obvious jokes.
Oh my, and I think even just to say, who should be our Bigfoot? Zach Galifianakis. I like Zach Galifianakis, but that's such a lazy, obvious choice.
Right.
Yeah.
That it makes me suspicious of the process in behind the film.
The whole story. Right. I mean, you mentioned it might be a ripoff of this particular artist that you like, but like this particular story seems so rote and overdone.
Yeah.
Like it's like, okay.
Right. I'm still.
Why use your. Leica does incredible stop motion, and this is a stop motion film. But it's like, why use your talents on this? Like,
to get
this is
paid.
Like,
I'm
this
still
is some real Boss Baby the Storks bullshit.
I don't mind a world in 10 years from now where they're still making movies, and yes, there's a Missing Link 5. Like, I don't care if this boosts them up, because it does feel like depressing that they are like, okay, let's make a big dumb movie.
Each movie they lose money.
Yeah, but they are losing money because their movies are beautiful and great, but like I don't think kids like them.
Nobody
very much.
Sees them. Yeah,
yeah. Like it's the same with Pixar a lot of time. Like Inside Out, I remember going to see that, and it was all adults like crying and kids like bored. Like
Inside Out didn't hit me the way that it hit everybody else.
That's fair.
But you're right. It's such an adult observation to be like, wow, it's so brave to make a children's movie that involves a character who's clearly grappling with depression.
Right.
But as a kid watching it, you wouldn't even notice that that's what's going on.
Exactly.
That's an adult observation.
You're just like, I like the imaginary friend. Oh, they murdered it. Well, this is a real fucking bummer.
Paul F. Tompkins, yeah. Right? Really got to
know. Just it was Richard Kind.
That's right, Richard Kind.
Having a niece and nephew now and watching what they watch, like I get it, where it's just like, being a kid sucks. You don't know what's going on. Every adult's scary. Just have some fun fucking movies. Like they need trash like we do.
Paddington 2, apparently.
Yeah.
Knocked it out of the park.
I mean, I appreciate, because children's movies don't have to be dumb.
Yes, this is true.
I appreciate it when there's more text there, like with all the Leica movies, like with Coraline and Paranorman and Kubo.
Right.
Yeah, kids can watch it and enjoy it for the kind of adventure that it is, but there's like depth to it.
Right.
Like it, you don't have to access to complete the story,
no.
But it's there for you if you want.
Right. Yeah. And there can be that, but I think there also should be the versions of like, I guess like Super Troopers, but for kids.
Or like Rambo, like, but
yeah.
Hitting a kid's pleasure center.
Yeah.
I think Pokemon is that.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, I would love to have pets. I like cute things. They fight. I like fighting.
Yeah,
like,
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I hope this is better than it looks.
Okay, so now you've convinced me, but all I'm rooting for is for it to make a buttload of money then.
Right.
Yeah, if it's going to be crap, I hope it makes a shitload of money.
I am not going to watch it. I hope it makes them all out of money.
Stop motion animation is one of those things that's like, it needs to keep happening.
Oh
there's
God,
so much
so
art
good.
In it.
It takes like 5 years to make
a movie. And so like, if they can make a shitload of money, if they can bring it back, it's a good cause.
Have you guys seen the aimed at adults British sitcom that Aardman Animations did, Rex the Runt?
No.
It's fucking funny. Like, because you never get to see it. I like Shaun the Sheep, but I love Wallace and Gromit, they're still based on like Pixar-style jokes, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's universal. Kid could get it. If you're okay with, you don't get every joke because you're not British and some of it is referencing like topical events there, check out Rex the Runt online. It's fully stop motion, like dirty adult oriented sitcom by Aardman Animation. It's great.
I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah, we'll see some stop motion dicks.
Yeah, similarly to what we've been talking about, I've been really wanting to see, and I guess I just said it with the Judd Apatow thing, but an adult Homeward Bound.
Sure.
I've been pushing hard for adult talking animals movie.
Wouldn't
I'm sure. Because
the realistic version is
they just want to fuck
animals.
All the time.
Oh, okay.
They just want to fucking fight and
they're
eat.
they're just murderous sex criminals.
Yeah,
but I would think if it was house pets, the realistic version is your act two break is real animals come out of the woods and eat them alive.
Oh, I wasn't gonna go. I was thinking more comedy. If it's house pets, then they're just crazy. Which, I mean, we're going to get to in a second. There's actually a movie on this list that's like that, but for kids.
Yeah. Were you accidentally linked a 5-minute sneak peek to Penguins of Madagascar?
Wait, what?
Did you? I didn't click that.
I got that one for some reason.
That's weird.
May have been something weird that happened to me on YouTube.
Yeah, that's not what happened to
me. So, okay, so the next trailer is what?
Let's get it out of the way.
The Secret Lives of Pets 2, because we're talking about kids' movies.
When I clicked on it, I got a 5-minute preview of Penguins of Madagascar.
Oh, weird.
So I had to like search for the Secret
Which is
Madagascar.
Really the Logan of the Madagascar.
Yeah, that's true.
It was bad.
I'm sure. But
which one?
Hey,
Madagascar.
Let's not bury the headline. Louis C.K. is seminal character back in another installment.
Is he in this?
He was the voice of the main character in number one.
I imagine he's not anymore.
No, he's been replaced by Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
Oh. But as soon as I clicked it, I was like, they're doing a second one in light of all the things? And I was like, oh, they just swapped him out. I'm an idiot. Kids don't care.
That's
Kids
a hell of an upgrade
the difference.
Too,
yeah.
Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
This
certainly.
Is the pets one. It's
Secret Life of Pets 2.
Yeah. So the premise is that there's crazy pets.
Yeah.
They're gonna.
It's what it appears to be. The dog.
They're gonna go after.
It's just like loaded with crazy ass pets.
Yeah.
Isn't this kind of is butts up against what you just pitched?
That's why I'm saying.
If it were truly live action instead of CG.
Yeah. It's close, but it's for kids. I would want one for adults.
Yeah, because they
like a gritty one.
The scene they show is they seem to take him to some vet that specializes in pets that are having issues, and all the pets are fucking nuts. But I also noticed that was called the Max trailer. So I think rather than being like a buddy comedy with a few buddies who are the main characters, and I'm just basing this on the way they're parsing out their trailers, but I suspect they might have altered it by saying like, well, let's bury Max as the main character. Let's make this more of an ensemble piece where it's going to have like a bit where we follow this pet, a bit where we follow that pet, and they all intersect.
I didn't see the first one.
I didn't either. I kind of want to now just because it sounds like fun.
Yeah, it would accept. Louis C.K.
Oh, wait, but Louis C. Right. Okay, that's tough.
I would say the same thing you were saying about Mr. Link or whatever it's called, the Link.
Missing Link. Or
Missing
whatever.
Link. Yeah. I would be fine with it and maybe interested in seeing it if every joke they showed me was not a third shelf joke in terms of freshness. I don't expect kids' movies to be reinventing comedy, but I've seen this joke multiple times in other CG kids' movies.
Right.
Like, you're really not digging deep
cats being like, we start fires. I just thought of Ralph Wiggum.
Let's say you're sitting around the room and you're like, so the cats turn their heads like exorcists and they speak in perfect unison and say something creepy. We start fires, laziest possible answer.
Exactly.
Like least funny answer possible to me.
Yeah, no. It's for kids who haven't
seen a lot of movies.
Yeah, haven't seen a lot of movies.
It's for kids who don't know nothing.
It's dumb.
I mean, it's probably gonna be better than Missing Link.
You think so? Missing Link
I found
looks better.
Missing
I think.
Link to be more excruciating.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I'm so.
It gets bonus points for stop motion.
But I'm so tired of that premise. Like,
right.
It seems so. Like, even talking animals doesn't seem as worn out to me as we found Bigfoot and he's wacky. I'm like, all right.
maybe it gets real weird or
it's
real dark.
Essentially,
or something.
Tarzan and King Kong. Like, it goes all the way back to those stories.
Right.
It's not different.
Right, but King Kong wasn't wacky.
What if he's
kind of wacky.
What if he becomes overwhelming and the guy like tries to get rid of him?
Yeah, the guy tries to like, kill him
and Cape
skin
Fear,
him.
And he just stalks
claim
his family.
His feet.
And he's like, I've learned your human ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I can navigate this world now. Don't you understand, doctor?
He tries to have him threatened.
I no longer need you.
Yeah. Tries to have him threatened, but he lawyers up and like, yeah, I'll watch that.
Sam Neill is the guy they hire to come in and trank Bigfoot.
I
would watch that.
I would watch all of this. All 90 minutes of this movie we're talking about.
Mm.
What's the next trailer?
True Detective.
Yeah.
Season three?
Season three.
Well, they're going big with the names.
Yep.
Marshall Ali's amazing.
Yeah.
Is there a second luminary to balance him out? Does anyone know who his... His partner.
His Stephen Dorff.
It's Stephen Dorff.
But they don't seem to They're not advertising Stephen
Dorff. They're not leaning on the Dorff, man.
It's a good casting thing they're doing, though, because they were sort of like... Like in the first season, and then even in season two, they kind of... They cast people who are traditionally in supporting roles.
Yeah.
Like even Mahershala Ali, he won an Academy Award for supporting actor, and he was like the villain in Luke Cage and stuff. He's always like in a supporting role. So I guess they're just, I don't know. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of juice off of putting Stephen Dorff's name in there, but
my biggest fear
it
was,
does fall in line with their casting.
Yeah. My biggest fear was that they were going to course correct too much, that everybody hated season two. So they're going to make this so much like season one that it wasn't like anything interesting. That doesn't look like the case at all.
No, I
and
think
it's
doing the things that I liked about it, which was it's a mystery that follows the characters across several decades.
Yeah. He's like an old man in this one.
I get the feeling it might take place in present day, so to speak, and he, you know.
I'm sure it does. Yeah. Much like the
Princess
first
Bride's
one.
It. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's him talking about the worst case he ever had. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because they say you hear in the trailer that the case happened in 1980.
And the costume design makes that clear.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then, of course, he's an older man. So it has the things that I liked about True Detective that I sort of didn't like about season two. My main problem with season two is that the mystery wasn't very good and it wound up not mattering.
Right. Mm. I really enjoyed the cast of that one.
The cast was great, but it just, I wish the mystery would have been more compelling and actually... Right. Have mattered instead of they basically kind of did Chinatown light.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I liked it. Just you're right about that. But I enjoyed what it was.
The thing I liked best about season one though was long tirades about aggressive nihilism.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like that's not going to ever come back.
No.
Because it's so centered in that. It would be if someone else tried to do it, they'd be like, what are you trying to bring back?
Yeah.
McConaughey? Yeah. That's weird.
It was like you can't do it.
But
again.
I do miss it. Yeah.
It was a gritty, like, cop comedy almost, because Woody Harrelson's reactions were just as good.
Yes, definitely.
And yeah, it's really hard to read.
But that was just one of the best twists on a cop who's like, oh, you're too damaged. You're sick of this shit. And you're like, yeah, and let me tell you why.
Right.
Time is a flat circle containing nothing inside a box of darkness. It's like he'd really go into it and unpack it. I like that.
They did Lovecraft without monsters.
Right. Yes.
Like,
definitely.
He's just so cosmically nihilistic
and aware of like evil forces lurking beyond the veil.
And they have the reference to the King in Yellow and Carcosa. Yeah. And then when he gets there in the end, he gets stunned because he sees like the fucking universe.
Yeah,
in the bad guy's lair, like freezes him, and that's when he gets stabbed.
Yeah, hallucinates.
Yeah. Did anybody watch Maniac? By the way,
I'm partway through it.
Okay. Only the Elijah Wood POV serial killer movie.
Okay, because it's the same guy.
Fukunaga.
There's one of my favorite cameos is in it, which is the big hug mug is in Maniac, which made me really happy.
Maniac is a very, I've watched the first five or six episodes. It's very different from True Detective.
Yes. I really liked it though.
It feels like a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah. It's very, I don't know. It's not as surreal as I thought it was going to be. Like, it makes sense with like.
They define the rules within the first two or three episodes.
Yeah, and like they explain what's going on and why things are going wrong in it.
It's a mind fuck for that first episode, but then
it
tells you the rules, so it's not like a mystery box type of deal.
Right, and then like, I'm not, no spoilers, but when it ends, I was like, I really enjoyed this. Like, I feel good. And like, that was that. Like, it was just like, this is a fun story.
So I'm excited for
I felt the three. Same way after I saw Elijah Wood scalp a bunch of women and staple their scalps to mannequins. Great movie, though, by the way.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's awesome.
But if it's anything like his role in fucking Sin City.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like the Logan of Sin City. It really is like, I have found, and this goes to video games too, Broken Age was a super good game. If you find out Elijah Wood is personally invested in like raising funds for a passion project, it's usually dope. He has really good taste. Like, if it's not, he does cash grabs.
Right.
But if you look into it and find out, like, he's been raising funds personally for a year to get this to happen, it's usually pretty dope.
It makes sense, because he did them Lords of the Rings, and, like, after that, it's like, he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, so yeah. I find my taste aligns with the stuff he chooses to work on.
That's good to know.
So yeah, True Detective Season 3.
Yeah.
Looks pretty sweet.
TDC 3.
This next one.
2 days after my birthday. Really excited.
Ooh.
Ooh. I need
to sink my teeth into some True Detective.
Yeah.
Just enough time for you to die and never see True Detective Season 3. Yeah.
It's 2 months. Get on it, universe.
Next one is a word I'm not going to pronounce right, so I'm just going to go really bad and call it Capernaum. It's a city. It's named after a city in Israel.
But it translates directly it's like to Capernaum, chaos, yeah. Right?
I don't know.
The trailer, it says...
Oh, really?
Parentheses, chaos.
Underneath. Oh, okay.
So unless that's like
a Radiohead
thing. I
assumed it was named after the city.
Where they're like, 2 + 2 = 1, tiny man being erased.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it translates to chaos, yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be like best foreign film next year, I assume.
Yeah, it looks like it's like a little boy growing up in Israel, I guess.
Yeah, in like a small village.
It looks pretty intense.
And it's like postcards of life, because he runs away from home because his parents are negligent. He goes around and meets a bunch of different people,
mm-hmm.
who I'm sure will reveal different facets of how tough it is to be in Israel right now.
Right.
And then he decides to sue his parents for the crime of bringing him into this life.
Right.
Which I think is, you know, the whimsical part, but the pointed satire part. Did you guys at all read the description of how it was made?
No.
No.
I think it's really cool that it's called Chaos, because this must be intentional, or it's not called Chaos. But either way, all the actors, it's like United 93, all the actors are just real people that she knew.
Great.
The things that are their subplots, like whatever happens to them, really happen to them. And including the boy is like an orphan boy who was left in a alley by his parents.
Oh, wow. All right.
I'm assuming in United 93 it didn't really happen to those actors.
No, but like the guy just, well, everyone in the
But I know what you mean with United 93. They were really
in United 93, yeah. Obviously not on the plane, but all the actors in the control room were the real people,
right,
that
yeah.
lived through it, and they just reenacted their role.
Yeah.
But I was just reading about it, and I thought the coolest part was this is like Curb Your Enthusiasm as Oscar fodder.
Right.
The filmmaker just had an initial scene, told her friend to like talk about that thing that happened to you in 2008 to this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And however the improv scene worked out, they shaped the screenplay and decided what would happen next based on that.
Right.
So the cast are non-actors who helped write the movie, which is cool.
That's cool. Yeah. I think that can go. Did you ever see, what is it, Monsters? It was Gareth Edwards, who later, for some reason, they gave a Godzilla to.
Yeah.
His first movie, where that was also improvised, but it was just like two people having small talk, from what I remember. Like, it really didn't go anywhere.
But at least this, she was like, I know this person was kidnapped and lived through it and released.
Yeah.
That's what she's going to talk about.
Yeah.
You know there's meat there.
It's
you know
not, I mean? Yeah, yeah. It's these are real people with real experiences as opposed to two actors being like, just improv everything. It's fine. yeah, this looks really good. It looks all the headlines for it was like, check out the heartbreaking trailer.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, this is gonna be a toughie.
It looks intense.
Looks like a Hurt Locker maybe feeling,
yeah,
to it.
The Hurt a Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. I got the Hurt Locker feel off of just like, it is 100% handheld.
Oh yeah.
There are no, yeah. They did not rent
same
a
color.
Tripod for this movie.
same color palette.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's gonna be tough.
It's gonna be a real real bummer.
You know what it is.
Watch, but
it's
yeah.
gonna be one of those.
Yeah, yeah. It's I'm sure it's very good, and I'm sure I'll see it once and never again,
mm-hmm.
because it's just gonna be a bummer.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You get to the end of that movie and be like, well, that's all I need.
Yeah.
It's unlikely at the end he wins the lawsuit, his parents give him $1 billion, he inherits the chocolate factory.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
And everything's
if that's
fine.
How it ends.
Yeah. Right, yeah. He just lives in
you're
a
like,
castle.
We did have a bunch of extra money. You sued us, you got it. That was the secret.
All right, that's it for trailers.
Yeah.
Should we go to news?
Yeah.
There's a Breaking Bad movie coming. It's based on Jesse.
Yeah, because what else could it be about?
That is a good point.
It could literally not be about anyone else.
It's just, yeah, it's
they
after the show.
Yeah.
Be great if they did a post-finale Walt movie,
yeah.
And it's just of
his
like,
grave.
Yeah.
Well, Slow TV is coming back. Yeah, it's yeah. It's a 6-episode miniseries of Walt decomposing in his grave in real time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Back and forth between Walt and Hank's grave.
You know, people would watch it and try to find Easter eggs too.
Oh, like, yeah.
Do you see that worm went in Hank's eye because he saw too much?
I kind of feel like they need to let Breaking Bad go.
They really do.
I watched a bit of Better Call Saul and it's good. It didn't grab me though. Like I watched like the first season and I just sort of forgot about it.
That has not been my experience. It's slower. So I did find myself like weirdly like, why am I watching this? Where's the like Gus? Like where's the chase where a gun is to someone's head and I'm like terrified? But when I realized they're not doing that. They're doing a different show.
Right.
I like it better than Breaking Bad.
That makes sense.
Personally.
Yeah.
And I would have said, why don't they just let Breaking Bad die before Better Call Saul? Now that I've seen Better Call Saul, I'm like, well, I was wrong. So I'm open to see if I'm wrong.
Right.
Like, I'm trusting Vince Gilligan. But after this, doesn't that there's nothing left to explore? This has got to be
it. He's done the prequel. Now he's doing a sequel movie about Jet. Like I wish he wouldn't.
Probably like, Brock this feels will like, get mentioned.
I don't know. I was a big fan of Sopranos, and Breaking Bad always felt like Sopranos to me. And there was the same like fan chatter all the time of like, oh, that wife, and like, oh, but he's so cool, all that shit.
Yeah.
And but the Sopranos like. Stopped like they told their story and then they're like okay we're done, like they didn't spin everything off because it's not like a spin-off type of show. But you're right that like I didn't hate Better Call Saul, I just never went back to it.
And I don't like, I think it like squeaks by on a technicality in that yes it's in the same universe and yes they knew that would put eyeballs in seats, but it isn't the same show.
Yeah,
like it isn't just Breaking Bad again, it's a family drama about his fucked up relationship with his brother.
Right. And that makes sense that you can set something in the same universe, I guess. But I assume this Jesse Pinkman, like
it's the Logan. Of
Yeah.
Like I wish it's the Logan of Breaking Bad. No, I wish they wouldn't. Cause it's like, no, let him get away. I don't want anything else bad to happen.
Right. That was sort of a good ending for him.
Oh my God. Well, I hope because if you rewatching Breaking Bad, it becomes so clear that one of the themes was let's torture Jesse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say I don't see what I would gain seeing that trend continue. Like, I don't want to just see 2 more hours of Jesse getting shit going
right,
badly.
Right. Because when it ended, it was such like a, you can finally exhale because you're like, oh, he's okay.
Yeah.
Because that's like one of the main points of the show is I mean, you knew Walt was going down. How many people is he going to bring down with him?
Yeah. It's like, how much damage will Jesse take by the finale?
Yeah.
I mean, I just from what you're saying about Better Call Saul, this could be like Jesse just having to emotionally deal with the trauma he went through.
That's
or something.
True, yeah.
Like they could go in a very interesting direction.
Like what if it was a weird like Chris Eggers style heartrending movie about him raising Brock and their only problems are like interpersonal grief?
That would be amazing.
I don't know that it definitely would, but it could be.
It would disappoint a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people would be like, what the actual fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if it's like a body switching movie?
Yes. It's like Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Straight up 3-camera sitcom. Badger comes to help him raise Brock in a San Francisco penthouse apartment.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Badger didn't. I mean, I thought Badger got killed.
He probably did, and it slipped my mind. Is Badger dead?
I don't remember. If he didn't, how the hell did that guy survive? Know.
I gotta rewatch that.
Badger's just, he's always one step ahead of all these crime lords.
The next thing is about Chris McKay, who did the Lego movie, is directing a live-action Johnny Quest film.
Sure.
Yeah, that was bound to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know why we need it.
I don't, because I didn't know Johnny Quest, like, most people I mentioned Johnny Quest to don't even know those words put together.
Right.
And if anything, they know, like, Dr. Venture. Yeah,
I was about to say, he exists the best in Venture Brothers.
People know parodies of Johnny Quest and don't even know they're parodies of things.
Yeah.
Johnny Quest is, like, so buried in our culture at this point.
Yeah. Maybe they'll be inspired by the Venture Brothers, but then if they are, why are they making this? Because we already have...
We have
the Venture Brothers.
How do you handle Haji? Yeah. One of the most problematic characters.
Don't call him Haji, that's for
sure.
I'd say, yeah, I feel like they should confront it. That's the thing. It's like the It was like the fucking 21 Jump Street. If they do something like that, they're trying to, I don't know. That's the whole, that was all what Adult Swim was, right? It was all these old Hanna-Barbera cartoons, and they were like, well, we still have this
footage.
They
were using the old assets.
Yeah, let's bring it back and,
oh,
do, and do something fun with it.
I didn't even know, I'd never seen a Space Ghost cartoon, and I didn't need to think it was funny.
Right.
And be vaguely aware it was recut footage, like you can tell.
Did you ever see the C-Lab episode C-Lab they did too, where it was
fucking phenomenal?
They did one episode where it was just the old show. Did
but
you ever see
it? But they didn't recut anything yet.
Yeah, they didn't, like, it's completely, like, I remember watching it, it's completely serious, except, like, I think the post-credits, the lab explodes.
Because it exploded at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
The one where they each form their own nation in different bubbles of the sea lab is the best one in my mind.
Yeah.
Or when Murphy gets crushed by the vending machine.
That was the first that was the first Adult Swim anything that I saw.
Yeah, the first.
Well, you know what? I saw Space Ghost, but like.
Oh, really?
When they had like, because Space Ghost was mid-90s.
Space Ghost was my favorite.
When they had Adult Swim, you know, when they launched like Aqua Teen and everything, like the very first Adult Swim thing I saw was the episode where Murphy gets crushed by the vending machine.
The first episode I ever saw was Waking Quinn, the one where Quinn keeps getting electrocuted and it's really surreal. And I was high and I didn't even know Adult Swim existed. And it was like turning on the TV like, what is going on right now?
You thought you were like getting some brilliant local access show that was a special treat
just for you.
Well, I
knew it was Cartoon Network.
That's
I was just
true,
like,
yeah.
what is, like, I just assumed I was watching a regular cartoon and then it just fell apart and got so fucking weird.
You guys know how Dino Stamopoulos is notoriously like drunk and loud at all of his public appearances? One of the early Comic Cons I went to, and I understand getting upset, but it was just a sight to behold. Giant hall for a C-Lab 2020 or like an Adult Swim panel in general.
Right.
And someone got up and talked about how the show's not funny anymore since Murphy's gone.
Well, because the guy died.
Yeah.
Right. And I understand why that would upset you if you knew him, but you must know based on the phrasing of the question that that person asking didn't know that. Dino Stamopoulos grabbed the mic from who was going to answer and stood up and was like, he fucking died, you human piece of shit. Someone drag this motherfucker out of this room. And it was like, whoa.
Wow, that's such a Dino.
What an ass.
Oh, man. So yeah, Adult Swim's great. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah,
Space Ghost, man.
Space
I gotta go
Ghost?
Back.
No,
and
let's
watch.
Go backwards. Sea Lab, Space Ghost, Adult Swim, Johnny Quest.
Johnny
yes.
Quest. The fucking Conan O'Brien Space Ghost episode is.
So we're just talking
so
about
good.
Adult Swim. Though.
It's so fucking good.
You're dragging us back there.
All right.
So yeah, they're making a live action Johnny Quest. Don't know why.
All right, moving on.
If they're going to
do the
21 Jump Street version, but like we already have Venture Brothers.
Yeah, we talked about this on another Hypecast though. Is these old properties? It's kind of like if you have a good idea, why not? Why not go back and. Why not grab it? Who gives a shit?
Well, like, or if you have like the new ideas you can skin, like the classic is, well, let's make it a Die Hard. Like Abe and I were just pitching stuff at Hanna-Barbera, and they literally, it wasn't like pitch new ideas. It was, here's a list of old, forgotten, discarded Hanna-Barbera characters like Yaki Duck. Can you think of a way to Adult Swim them with old footage?
Yes, I can.
So, do
for
that.
Any single character.
But it's funny that they're literally coming from the place of, they told us that's what we're looking for.
Right.
Is a way to take our vault of animation cells and make
money
off
money
them. Yeah.
It's better. Yeah, this stuff, it's like, it's one thing if they remade like Indiana Jones or something where no one needs that. We all still love it. But like nobody is fans of these things anymore.
Like my dad is like, oh yeah, I love Johnny Quest as a kid. He is not like, when are they going to finally make a Johnny Quest movie?
It's just because like the name, there's some recognition, there's some sort of structure there that they already have and they can fucking build off.
Well, it's like every single movie they've made based off of Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons.
Right.
Yeah.
They're all bad.
Yeah.
And they all bomb.
Yeah. But sometimes
and
it works.
And they all never taught a lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been three.
Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
They did Rocky Bullwinkle, Dudley Do-Right, and Peabody and Sherman. Stop it.
Yeah. And it was a great cartoon.
And George the Jungle. But George the Jungle did okay.
It was a great cartoon.
Sometimes
but
it does okay.
It's not of our fucking time.
No.
Yeah.
It is so
like,
far removed.
It's not a cartoon designed to be adapted into this modern day
it's
that
like
we're in now.
Yeah. How in the 90s they were like, you know what we should do? take old radio plays and make them into things. Well, and like, it was like, that was weird.
Like, go back and watch Rocky and Bullwinkle. That shit is not funny. Like, they have jokes like,
well, again,
Bullwinkle is an alumnus
right.
from What's a Motto You.
I think
that's
it's,
a joke
I think
in Rocky
the,
and Bullwinkle.
I think the secret is to not be true to the source material.
True.
Yeah.
You take, like the whole thing where I got really mad when I heard they were making a Tetris movie. And then I thought about it more. I was just like, well, who gives a shit?
It doesn't mean anything.
Well, yeah.
As of now, you have no idea what that movie
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
So
could be
good or bad.
Yeah. Like, it's just something to get people's fucking attention right yeah. now. I get it. It's not. It's usually not good, but sometimes.
I hope it's not the Battleship route where, like, aliens and tetraminos start crushing
right.
cities
yep.
and we have to fight Tetris blocks.
Oh, man.
That could easily be what it is.
Oh, yeah. It could be like pixels.
Yeah.
So, moving to Avengers 4 news. The runtime is currently 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm sure they'll,
fine.
I'm sure they'll cut it down to 2.5.
I kind of want.
I trust their process to do whatever they've done it 12 times in a row. And
I
it's
honestly,
fine. They'll do it again.
I'm fine with them not because I'm a big
right.
fan of epics. Like Lord the of the Rings were epics. It's like why not make epic superhero movies?
Right. They
fuck
keep
it.
Hinting they're gonna start a new story phase.
Yeah.
The Quantum Universe
yeah.
phase.
It's the end of. Like a decade of Marvel movies. So
yeah.
if they do put it out at 3 hours, I don't think anyone's going to care.
Yeah, my one thing I wish epics did more, I think Lord of the Rings did it a bit, is that it's not just like big scale. I love it when it's just a large amount of time too. Like where it goes over a whole lifetime or something like that. Like Lord of the Rings sort of does that.
Lord of the Rings is epic in scale, but it's also, there's a lot of story
yeah,
in
yeah,
each
yeah.
movie. Like they,
and
it's not,
the superheroes,
it's never boring.
Yeah,
it's
superheroes
like,
can't really
happening.
But you mean like if it's an epic trilogy, it's nice to see them old by the end of the trilogy.
I just like when I think epic, I think everything.
Yeah.
Like I think Dr. Zhivago takes
like
place over like a person's
place.
Life.
Yes, you could never ask like, what about a couple years later? Could another story have happened? No, because he was like 94 when we ended
yeah,
the story.
Exactly.
He's done.
Yeah.
It precludes sequels too.
Yeah, it's true. It's just
I mean,
there's something about it that's
some
cool, but obviously. Superheroes, you can't do that, and so be it. But
yeah
3 hours. Fuck
superheroes
it.
Aren't allowed to age because you're gonna need them again in a second.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't do a hard cut like 20 years later in Avengers 4.
Yeah, they can't do
that. Would
Godfather
be cool
3
if they
again.
Did. Yeah.
Black Panther's old now. We just forfeited $6 billion to make a story point.
Remember the end of Godfather 3?
I
haven't seen 3.
Yeah.
Because I've always heard it's such a step down. There's no reason, no need.
It smash cuts to Al Pacino like 1,000 years
ago. Oh,
that's great.
Sitting in his lawn and he has a heart attack.
Like,
it was originally supposed
style.
To be the ending of part 2. Because part 2 was going to be the end of it.
Every movie should smash
I got that
cut
stretch
to old
for time
Al
note. Yep.
Yep.
So the Satanic Temple is suing Netflix.
Sure,
great, sure.
Yeah, over Sabrina, the new Sabrina.
I can't take anything the Satanic Church does
for $150 million.
Because they're a troll.
Of the
they're essentially like a troll enclave, right?
Yeah, they can be good trolls sometimes, right? Like they stand up for some good shit.
Like they always get up in arms about. Well, I'll say this: they always get up in arms about like grossly, obnoxiously loud nativity scenes on government property. And I agree with them in theory, but it does seem like a very low priority argument to be having
right.
these days.
Well, they're generally, I think, I don't want to, I remember them speaking out against like certain like.
Yeah, they have like some quote unquote woke viewpoints, but it's like at the same time, it's like the Church of Satan.
I think the point of them though is they're not. Like, right, they're not Satan worshippers, they're just activists.
They argue that Satan is.
They're religious
Satan
activists.
Satan is God's foil.
Okay.
Satan is the fool who points out the errors in God's system.
Well,
so what
all,
they really are is anti-religious thinking.
Right.
It's all self-oriented.
Yeah.
From what
right.
I understand.
And
it's
empowering
about,
their individual
yeah.
members.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's so hard to take like, when they come out with like something like, oh, we should end, you know, like a good progressive viewpoint. And it's like Church of Satan. It's like, well,
yeah.
you guys are kind of silly though.
That's
like if Pringles were called shit chips, you'd be like, just change the name. Your sales are
right.
going to triple, man.
Yeah.
Well, they're
guys,
just.
You guys are silly. Like,
it's publicity. It's
yeah.
PETA. It's that thing, which is.
They
so
do the PETA
obvious.
Thing. They do prank things to draw attention.
Yeah,
to
and it's so obvious from this, where it's like, if they were. Like, the fact that Sabrina used a temple, and they're like, eh, no, that's our property. We're going to sue you. Like, it feels so. It's like they're breaking character because it's like, I thought the Satanists wouldn't care about such things.
But that's the thing is that they probably didn't. They're no one was offended. No one was genuinely offended.
Yeah.
Someone thought it would be a cool opportunity for the club to get on the news.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
It's like, wow, the Sabrina show is really... So the new Sabrina show, which surprisingly
accurate satanic shit,
takes a real dip into some satanic shit.
So good,
it's
I love
pretty
that.
Sweet, yeah.
Maybe I'm gonna conspiracy theory that Netflix teamed up with the Satanic Temple.
Oh, maybe.
For publicity.
Ooh, they shot there for free, and then they're like, yeah, "Just sue us after. We'll claim that we didn't know.
We'll make headlines."
That's so what whatever. I can't take them seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So speaking of streaming. We already got the next thing that Disney streaming service is going to be called Disney Plus. Super creative name.
That was real lazy.
It'll launch next year, and it'll have a Rogue One prequel series. So we get to know how Rogue One happened.
Wait.
Yeah.
Rogue One itself
was a prequel.
Was an explanation of how something happened, and that's the only reason we were interested in it.
Right.
Because it explained something from the core trilogy.
Right. And
now
we're going to
explain how those events.
Yeah.
Came
just
to fruition.
Is the
fucking stop it?
Is the prequel
or
going
go
to
forward
be
in time
explained
with a fucking news
tell
story
a different,
in the universe?
That's what I mean. Tell a different story.
Wait, is the prequel going to be showing how the Death Star got like the plans got made? Because that happens in the prequels.
Yep, we saw
that's
that.
Why they made the prequels?
Yeah.
So is this maybe this is the retcon? Is this series, in their mind, painting over the prequels?
No, I think it's going to be between the prequels.
Haven't
and
Disney
Rogue
said
One.
That they don't respect the plot points from the prequels?
No, they kept the prequels. They just don't acknowledge any of the EU.
Yeah, Darth Maul.
Okay, so
Darth
they don't
Maul
give a shit about Clone Wars and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. Darth Maul showed up in Solo with robot legs. So
yeah, so they have
that
I think
honors
they have
an event in Clone Wars.
I think
there are
the
prequel.
New Clone Wars is canon. Okay. The old one that was done by the Samurai Jack guy is not.
Right.
Gotcha.
It's. I think we're just going to get to
Kendi
a point.
Kendi Tartakovsky, great guy.
We're going to get
that's
to
an awesome cartoon.
A point where we're going to have a movie covering every single year.
Yeah.
Between the prequels and the originals,
in what is arguably
we're just gonna fill it all
the
out.
Richest, most inviting, mysterious, expansive sci-fi universe ever created.
I disagree.
Well,
I think
there
I think
might be a better
I
one.
Think we're,
but...
I think Star Trek is more.
I wanted you to like drop Dune or something.
Yeah. I'm not here to argue that it's totally supreme. I'm just saying anyone in this room could think of 10 great news stories involving the mechanics of the Star Wars universe that have nothing to do with the time the Death Star got blown out.
I think... Go ahead.
I already pitched this fucking pod racing film, like Days of Thunder, but pod racing.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's watch that. No, I think
people like fucking sabotaging people with the Force subtly.
I want the villain to have the Force.
Yeah,
the good
so
guy
they have
to
start using Force dampeners and the track and shit. Yeah.
I think the fact that we have yet to really see anything, like even in the EU stuff, it still ties in with the main characters and the main storyline. Like, I think the series has proven that it's not really that deep or interesting of a universe. It's really all we cared about were the main characters and the storyline that was happening in the original trilogy.
I don't feel that way because I've read a bunch of the EU novels and they really seem awesome to me still.
It's tough.
But I haven't gone back in a long time.
It is true. There are other films like this. Like, I always go on about Terminator and Aliens are two films where they keep trying to, like, expand the mythology. And it's
right,
like,
and we don't care.
It's just a horror movie.
There's no room to expand the mythology.
And I never thought that Star Wars could maybe be that. It's like Indiana Jones. Like, imagine if they tried to keep expanding the Indiana Jones universe.
Indiana Jones
it's
lore.
Like, no. Like, it's called Indiana Jones.
Right.
Like, it's about this
one
guy.
Oh, there's other treasure hunters, and they have a cadre of secret treasure hunters. Let's look at this group of treasure hunters.
Right.
It goes like the hotel from John Wick, and it's just
that's what I was thinking.
Right.
Just a bunch of Indiana Jones. They all have their whips hanging on pegs.
Yeah. They'll have different items. Like different signatures.
They prove
items.
Different things.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, this proves God is real. Really? This proves Buddha is real. Let's just not talk about it.
He proved every religion correct.
Right.
That said, I think Star Wars, more than Star Trek, because I do think Star Trek is more expansive, but Star Wars is... the only sci-fi where like fans seem to really like zero in on background characters. like really hone in on these characters that are like, who's that? And that's where the fan fiction, the EU came from.
I think that.
So there's like fans want more. They do seem
like the
to
fact
want
that we still
more.
Haven't had a film noir Boba Fett movie to me means, yes, there's still more we could do because that's fucking low hanging fruit.
Western.
Just do it.
Yeah. And they just canceled it. Like they were going to have James Mangold,
I know.
Who directed Logan.
Yep. He's but really the Logan of directing.
But he also directed the 3:10 to Yuma remake.
Yes.
And he was going to do a Boba Fett movie. And I was like, well, fucking finally, just do Once Upon a Time in the West or Good, Bad, and the Ugly with Boba Fett. But they're like, no, we're going to cancel it.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ, you're going to make another Rogue One prequel.
Yep.
Oh my God. I think that comes from there being so little source material to begin with.
Yeah.
I think it comes
why
from...
why be beholden to the source material?
Yeah.
Make new stuff up.
But like what Dave was talking about where it's like they focus... The fans focus on like a background character. And I think that comes from... For such a long time, you only had two or three movies. So it's like you watch those over and over
and
over again.
I think it's also how stupid a lot of the characters look in the Star Wars universe. Sure. Where I feel like it's just like, what was that guy who just walked by?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
That? What, do you have a clam on his head? What is that?
Fucking Nad head in the He's got this vertical scrotum. For
Dengar with a diaper.
Right.
Dengar, clothing made of diapers. Yeah. I will... It feels like... Shit, I lost my train of thought. But I'll just double down on, I'm sold on Dave's idea. I want to see Luck, the canceled Dustin Hoffman show.
It killed too many horses.
As a pod racing vehicle, but about like a corrupt person running, alien running a pod racing thing. Oh, I remember what I was going to say, is that's actually where I think we threw out the baby with the bathwater a little with the prequels, is because he felt confident that if anyone could do it, he could, at fucking least... Lucas had the balls to be like, here's five new things. There's this weird grenade. Here's three new alien species. They all suck because I have bad ideas. But now I think they've overcorrected where they're like, you can't invent a new Star Wars race. Just use one of the pre-existing Star Wars alien races. That's why it sucks now.
Yeah, we talked about this.
It's narrowing in instead of broadening out.
It's two ends of a spectrum. It's a creator actually creating new stuff for his universe and sucking at it.
Then
and
when you find out it's Jar Jar, you're like, maybe we shouldn't create new stuff.
Right. Yeah. And then on the other end, it's fans who are making Star Wars films and so nervous and such fans of it that they don't want to add anything. And it feels like, because I think we couldn't make like an expanded universe of like, The Lord of the Rings. Like, that feels wrong to keep writing Lord of the Rings stuff. Does that feel wrong to you guys? Like,
gonna,
if someone made...
They're going to make the Silmarillion into a movie, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it feels like there's a lot of resistance. Like, no one wants... No one's going to come along and be like, I've created a new story in that universe.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
true, technically. But I would argue that the entire history, up till maybe the last 20 years, of fantasy novels...
Yeah.
Are fan fiction of Lord of the
right,
Rings.
Right, that's true.
Because there's no reason in a fantasy novel that it has to be elves and dwarves and orcs.
Right.
Every time someone just takes that for granted, they're borrowing from Lord of the Rings.
But no one's going to come out and say, like, I'm going to make a young Gandalf movie. Because it would feel...
Gandalf is real sexy.
Yeah, it would
Gandalf
feel wrong.
Fucks.
It would feel really wrong. And so, like... And I think it feels wrong because he's... You can't consult, like, Tolkien... But now, like,
also Gandalf
still
is
around.
Wisdom incarnate. So, like, why would he be young? Right, it's antithetical to his use in the story.
Right. He's not a human. He's like a.
He's supposed to be like the font of wisdom.
Right. Yeah. I forget
who
quite where I was
fucks.
Going with it, but I think
fucks.
My point is that, like, the fans, like, these directors who are fans, they should expand. And now's the time because the dude who invented it, he's still around. You can call him and be like, hey, is this fucked up if I do this? What do you think? Like, you can consult George Lucas about this.
His plan was to add microscopic creatures in your bloodstream that we focus on as characters.
I want that movie.
So, clearly, he's fine with you fucking with the formula.
Yeah.
Like, Lucas is not the one saying, no, you gotta keep it true to Star Wars. He's like, fucking go for it, you white slavers.
Yeah, that was, I remember.
He did say that. What's the next
one? Okay,
story?
The next one is this. We don't have to spend much time on this. I just thought the headline was hilarious. They've announced that there'll be at least four new songs in Frozen 2.
Yeah.
To which I said, yeah. right?
What like, else would there be in it?
Exactly.
Yeah, they just do let
I'm
it
not
go
sure why this is
times.
News.
There will be no less than 18 polygons in Frozen 2.
There was a threat in this story, a threat that they're going to be rewriting the next Let It Go, meaning like we're writing the next big catchy song for it. And it's like God, I man.
Get ready for your kid to only listen to this till you hate it.
But yeah, Frozen 2.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's fine.
Just right.
Do you want to let it go, man? They just combine them into an unstoppable song.
Ever since Deadpool 2, I can't.
Oh, yeah,
Deadpool
yeah.
2, he points out that, do you want to build a snowman? Is Papa, can you hear
yeah,
me?
Yeah, Papa, can you hear me?
And it's like, he's right. I can't not hear it.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, good for them.
Yeah.
This was kind of just a side note, too. We were talking about... what's it called earlier? Missing Link. Netflix is making 3 stop motion animation films right now. Mm. So this is another good win for stop motion. I think one is Pinocchio.
Which I'm disappointed
Guillermo.
By.
Yeah. The other is the Bubbles movie, the Michael Jackson Bubbles thing that's
by
happening.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
He's doing a stop motion children's movie from the point of view of Bubbles.
Of his monkey.
That is focused on not Michael Jackson at all. But what would a monkey be thinking going through like crazy right. parties in like, you know,
yes,
America in human
oh, that's
society?
Great. I've been wanting
great
to.
Great angle.
That's pretty amazing.
I went to.
It's kind of like The Missing Link, but a way to make it fresh and good instead of the same thing.
This was another idea that I went to Medieval Times last night, and I feel like someone needs to make a movie the point of view of horses. In general, who are just like, what are they doing?
What's going on now?
What is going on?
Right.
I talked to my horse cousin. He's not doing this. He's doing something completely different. Right. Like, it's,
well,
it's
like how they
madness.
All have different tasks.
It's all, yeah, and it's all like insane things to them. The last one is Wendell and Wild. It's the director of Night Before Christmas and
Selleck.
The Giant.
Henry Selleck. Yeah.
So excited. And although I was upset, the article... Look, the dude's only made 4 movies.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to mention the 4th one.
Monkey Bone?
Woefully underrated Monkey Bone. Yeah. I felt like it was a snub. The article goes, Henry Selleck, creator of James and the Giant Peach, Nightmare Before Christmas,
oh, they,
and blah, blah,
they
blah.
Deliberately
they omit
didn't mention
Monkey
it.
Bone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Monkey Bone fucking rules.
I feel like you should go on a podcast to defend it.
I will go back in time and do that. Also, I love that Selleck, again, like Monkey Bone, was based on the surrealist art of Mark Ryden. He said that the idea for this movie came to him by totally wrapping it around a particular artist's work. And I happen to love that artist. So, like, I'm excited about that. I think Selleck is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think this might be the best one out of the 3. I don't know. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, he's been letting me down lately.
Yeah, Crimson Peak.
Yeah.
Ate a fart.
And then the the fish fuck one.
Ever since Pan's Labyrinth. Like, it seems like such a wasted opportunity to be doing a stop motion thing and not bring the kind of visual daring and imagination that you brought to Pan's Labyrinth. You're just going to redo Pinocchio.
If you, I mean,
stop motion's so much effort to just redo Pinocchio.
We talked about it a little bit on a previous Hypecast, but like, there's enough stuff. Like, I watched like a fucked up cartoon adaptation of Pinocchio when I was a kid. There's like stuff in that story.
Yeah,
I came from Germany.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the Island of Fun is dark.
Even beyond that, like there's just fucked up stuff with the fairy. Like there's a lot of material there that he could possibly mine and put his particular artistic vision to. That I'm still interested in watching it.
We did this observation on Cracked, but I'd love to see an adult Pinocchio where he just has this vague memory that he was a puppet.
Wait,
like
was
it's
I
that like Geppetto's dead and he's walking around like I feel like I might have been a
when
puppet?
He was like 8.
Yeah, like
now he can't remember if that's just one of those crazy things kids think.
Yeah. And like the rest of the world, there's no live puppets
there's no
in
other
the world.
Puppets,
so he's like I don't think
there's
that
no
was a puppet.
Photographs of
yeah.
Him.
So does the movie become the reverse quest? He wants to turn back into an inanimate puppet.
I don't know.
I kind of
want to say it'd be like Split, where you don't know it's a Pinocchio movie, and it's like a guy who's like crazy, and then you slowly realize
that's what
oh,
I
want to
see happen with Happy Feet and Mad Max Fury Road, the movie that reveals they're in the same universe. The only remaining water is frozen in the Arctic, and they go up there and have to kill all the penguins.
Oh, that'd be so
their
good!
Ice.
Dancing.
Yeah,
Tom Hardy's just growling at them.
Oh man, they would want. I would want them to do that. Like it's the end of the next Mad Max as they get there, mm-hmm. and then you see the Happy Feet Penguins, and then ends. And then it's just like, yeah. What? Yeah.
Bruce Willis looks over from the diner. You're like, "There's a diner here. What's going on?"
All right, final news story is Aquaman is getting good early test screenings, which I added in a link that same was said about Suicide Squad.
Yep.
So this is, I don't know if this means anything.
I don't know.
It looks good.
It looks fun. It's James Wan.
Yeah.
It's not a bad director.
Yeah, so
even
I'm
though
not...
he unleashed the fucking Nun and Annabelle.
He has been both good and bad, I
He
would
has
say.
Been both, yes.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of shit. Some of it's good and some of it's bad.
He does make a lot of shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'll probably be fine.
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough.
As the Queen of Atlantis.
Yeah. Someone compared it to underwater Star Wars.
Sure.
And I was like, all right, I'll watch that.
I mean, we see in the trailer where they're like fighting, riding on like squid back and shark back. I'm like, I'll watch
that. Someone else said is, it's the only kind of Lord of the Rings fight we haven't seen, which is, what if they were all riding fish? And you're like, all right.
Yeah, that's...
May as well fill out the set of epic shots of battles sweeping down it's to collide. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll watch that. I'll watch a shark war. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, a movie just called Shark War.
Shark War.
I really hope they have like a drummer boy at front that's just a jellyfish who screams, Shark War! They all charge forward.
Oh, man. So that's it. That's it for our news story.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We got a movie that deserves more hype.
Dave, what is this movie?
This is called Blew My Mind. It's the Tobias Bluth story.
Yeah, don't write it off immediately. The worst thing about the trailer is the title.
Is the title.
What
Blue,
a bad title
B-L-U-E,
for the tone of this
Blew
movie.
My mind.
Blew
yeah,
my mind.
The title's bad. That's a bad title.
Just call it Mermaid.
Yep.
You're already there, man.
It's a coming-of-age story about a girl who turns into a mermaid.
In a body horror
in
sense.
In a body horror sense.
This movie it's looks got, sweet.
Yeah, it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes from audiences. It's only done a few, like,
festivals
and stuff. I think it comes
Norwegian?
Out the... Yeah, something
Swedish,
like that.
I think.
Swedish, okay.
It comes out around the 16th, I believe. I think we could see it here in Los Angeles now.
Oh, sweet.
But I think it goes to streaming and to select theaters on the 16th.
It looks like... the underlying code of Get Out, but applied to how much it sucks as a woman to suddenly have your period,
right?
Have hormones flushing through your body.
Yeah.
What if she was literally turning into a monster?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit, and the critics are saying this too, of the movie Raw.
It looks like Raw.
Raw.
Yeah.
Which I really liked Raw. That was a good. I don't like cannibalism that much. But that was a good horror.
That much.
Well, in movies.
I could take it or leave.
Yeah, but that was a decent.
I mean, it varies from person to person.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. This everybody should check out the trailer, and it's definitely not for everybody. It also reminds me of Spring, which did you eventually see Spring? It's the directors of The Endless.
No, yeah, I never did.
Okay, because that's a body too. That's a body horror monster type situation. That's like, you know, on top of another more dramatic.
Okay.
More
you seen They Look Like
real.
People?
No, is that good?
It's pretty impactful for being the lowest budget thing you've ever seen put on film. It's surprisingly, there's like four moments where you're creeped out. And if you like horror, I think you'll be impressed by, well, they really creeped me out with basically nothing, with like no elements really.
I wanted to see that and then I didn't hear anything about it. It's sort of...
It's just the guy who's schizophrenic and what it would feel like from his point of view.
Wow.
It would be confusing and upsetting, it turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, but there's very little threat during the thing that you're like, is he right? Are there really aliens? No, he's clearly crazy. Sorry, what was the name of the stop motion movie that Selleck's doing? It's not Wet and Wild.
No.
I just wanted to hop back and say the big takeaway for me was that's the next reunion of Key and Peele. They're going to be the two lead voices.
Oh, shit.
Which makes me more excited about it,
well,
too.
Well, all right, hold on. I'll play juice.
Doesn't matter. That's the news.
Oh, Wendell and Wilde.
Wendell and Wilde will be voiced by Key and Peele. That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah, everybody should be excited about that.
And also everybody should see this.
Blew my mind.
Blew my mind. Terrible title.
Terrible title.
It looks pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, all the reviews, people seem to like it. There's a lot of mermaid stuff coming. There's the lore.
Metal-ass mermaids.
Yeah, the lore is another one where it's like mermaids, but they're fucking mermaids. Like, they're really gross and weird, and they kill you.
Yeah.
And I'm for this. I am pro
murders.
I think as the sea levels rise globally,
right,
we're trying to convince ourselves, I'm sure we'll turn into fish. We'll be fine.
We'll it's adapt. About mermaid murder.
Yeah.
I'm pro mermaider.
Oh, mermaider. Forgot about that.
Mermaider.
All right. Well, is that it?
I think that's an episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Feels like an episode.
It does.
Michael, thank you so much for doing it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
What do you want to plug?
Small Beans. Patreon.com/smallbeans.
It's very good. There's a lot of stuff.
So much stuff, you guys. And of course, you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed.
Woo!
We got t-shirts as well.
We do.
We do.
It's good.
Give us all sorts of money. tpublic.com.
All right.
Gamefullyunemployed. But yeah, all right. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
So long.
Bye.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at the Corlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.